Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. And let's see, I've got a whole bunch of great things to share with you this morning. First up is Liav Sofer, and he actually was on my show back in 2019. I can't believe it's been that long. And he has an incredible show coming up with his band, March 8th, right here on campus. The band is called Mostly Kosher. And you can find out how to get tickets by visiting thebarclay.org. And this is a Purim glam rock spectacular. I believe the show starts at 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about it just a moment. Let me just give you just some details about Liav. He's a Los Angeles-based musician, composer, and band leader. He leads the acclaimed klezmer fusion band Mostly Kosher, blending Jewish folk music with rock, jazz, and world sounds. He's also a faculty member at the Colburn School, directing choirs and music programs for local communities, and co-founded the Urban Voices Project, a nonprofit using music to empower and connect people through creative expression. He is joining us now. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, I cannot believe it's been, it's almost 7 years, I think. You were on a long time ago. For people who don't know Liav, tell me a little bit about what you have going on. You've got so many things. You've got this great concert coming up, Mostly Kosher. Could you describe your band a little bit? And we'll get into some other details as well.
Yeah, of course. It's almost 15 years ago now. Started a band called Mostly Kosher. And in the name, you could probably guess, it has Jewish cultural music as part of its foundation. But we take it and we contemporize it in our own way.
Sure.
We have a lot of fun mixing this old folk music with modern rock music and indie music. And if any of your listeners have ever heard the word klezmer, that's the basis of the sound. And for those that don't know, they have to imagine maybe maybe polka or Eastern European music, Balkan music.
Okay.
And this kind of sound that's very joyous, very folky, very party in the tavern kind of music from a much older day is combined with electric guitar and rock and roll and modern themes. We write new original lyrics that quote old melodies,
mm-hmm.
and do this mishmash of just a food fight of music just coming together and splashing together. And then, the band has been through multiple journeys of influence through jazz and rock and other things going on. And kind of like, sometimes we think of ourselves as a band called Pink Martini, but
mm-hmm.
like the Jewish cultural
yes.
version.
Yeah.
And it's a very eclectic but fun experience. And
I love it.
The band is, we've been able to tour. I think our biggest claim to fame is we've been able to build the Hanukkah show at the Disneyland Parks in
Amazing.
California Adventure and also in Florida. And now we concertize with our original music. And this Sunday we're actually on the campus of UCI.
That's right. We're right here.
We're at the Irvine Barclay Theater for a spectacular carnival performance. We're doing a glam rock opera approach to a Jewish story called the Purim story. And it's going to be fun for all ages and all cultures. So it's a good cultural immersion experience for those that aren't of the Jewish community but want to see how we party.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So could you describe to listeners what Purim is?
Purim is one of the more interesting stories in my book, in my opinion, because of all the Jewish stories, this one, first of all, is very much a feminist story. It's got female heroes or heroines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also interesting because it's not necessarily a biblical story, but it's part of our folklore. And it takes place in Persia. And it was a general, follows the same lines as most Jewish stories where there's someone who didn't like us and tried to kill us and we survived. But the thing that made this one interesting is that it had to do with the king of Persia falling in love with a Jewish princess, or a Jewish, I would say just a Jewish maiden who became his queen. And the whole trick to this was, despite there were people, including a very villainous man named Haman, is the villain's name, mm-hmm. who was the advisor to the king and demanded that Jews bow down to him, and Jews wouldn't do that because they don't bow down to any human idol. And so he wanted to hang all the Jews. She hides her identity when she marries the king, and he falls in love for her beauty. And only after she wins the heart of the king does she reveal her identity, that she's Jewish and mm-hmm. pleads for him to save her people. And so through her cunning and through her courage as a female hero, she saves her people. And then the story also celebrates kind of like this fun around like hidden identities and reveals.
Yes.
So it's very common to wear masks and costumes, and it becomes quite carnival-esque and masquerade-esque of an event and a holiday for our people. So we have a lot of fun getting to, when we tell the story of this particular folklore, we get to wear costumes and be merry and
yes.
really have fun with it.
And eat hamantaschen. Those triangle
and eat hamantaschen, the triangle.
Can't forget about
cookies.
Those. I already made some. They were delicious.
Oh, great. I'm
so
glad to get poppy seed are my favorite.
Oh, really? Okay. You know what? I've gotten super creative filling them with all kinds of things. So when people hear Mostly Kosher for the first time, what kind of reactions are you getting? Probably a whole mixed bag.
You know what's funny is the name is pretty obviously like lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun sounding, Mostly Kosher. It's even, many people have thought of us as a catering company, or but it just makes me laugh even just by hearing the name. But that being said, we explore lots of different themes because many of the artists are involved in current events, and we have been involved in different parts of the social justice world that are important to us.
That's great.
One of them is mental health, and one of them is homelessness as well. And so we've done a little bit of using this music to distort these, as much storytelling as we can, but on themes of mutual understanding and trying to really hear each other as humans and see the humanity in each other.
Yes.
So one is that we have this seeking mutual understanding in the music with our more melodic pieces and the more lyrical that's more introspective. But then we also, I've always said this, that Jews are really good at being sad because we're really good at bringing the party back up again.
Mm, I love
and
that.
I think that's the yeah. part of how we always leave the listener is the celebration and the joy, because
yes.
klezmer is inherently celebration music, it's dance music, and we try to make sure that we leave every audience member, no matter their faith and background, feeling like they can cheers to a l'chaim and dance a little hora in their living room and not and feel like it belongs to them just as much as us. And we always remind people that despite when people hear Jewish music, they're immediately going to think it's religious, faith-based music. But what's unique about the Jewish community is it's also a culture and an ethnicity.
Definitely.
So this is actually our cultural music. It's drinking songs. It's love songs. It's not actually related to the faith or spirituality as much as people would guess. And so part of the other piece that we like to share with audiences is that you're not coming to a church service that's just a different faith. You're actually coming to really step into a whole new world of cultural immersion.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's really what I've taken away from it. And by the way, I'm a mental health advocate. Much of my work outside of the station has to do with mental health, especially post-pandemic, because so many people feel lonely. They feel socially disconnected from having lived through a pandemic, and maybe they were already an introvert and they became more so. And I feel that people need this kind of experience that you're bringing so they can focus on their social health and connecting through music and connecting with themselves more. And I love the message of humanity and acceptance.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that right now, what's interesting is that because we're feeling so lonely,
mm-hmm.
I think it's more important than ever to actually take a risk and break this epidemic of loneliness
yes.
by trying something new.
Yes.
And I do think that what's beautiful about heritage music is that the people who belong to that heritage, it I just use the word, it can help you feel that you belong somewhere, which mm-hmm. is really powerful.
Yes.
But I also think that even for those that aren't part of this heritage, by witnessing others' heritage and taking a moment, there's a beauty in appreciating, all of a sudden you start to appreciate your own story, and you start to appreciate a little bit of your connection to community. And that's so needed right now, especially with...
I agree.
A lot of people are stepping away in this modern age from church or from synagogues, or stepping away from, or mosque or whatever, they houses of worship. There's sometimes people are becoming more agnostic or more atheist as they move forward. And I think that it's ironic because as we start to become more of a blended melting pot, mm-hmm. it's actually harder to understand the richness of our roots and heritage.
Sure.
Well, it's still powerful to progress and graduate from things that are antiquated, of course, especially, you know, maybe morals and values that are too overly antiquated and not fitting into this world. But meanwhile, how do we still appreciate our you know,
roots.
Our lineage?
Yeah.
And how that's created who we are today? It helps us maybe stave off the loneliness a little bit and connect with each other.
I love that. I completely resonate with that. And the importance of human connection has never been more important because so many people are tied to their phones. You know, they're connected so much that they're missing out on connecting face-to-face with someone. So having an offline life is so important.
Yes, exactly.
So tell me
Which
about...
Is what I'm,
sorry, go ahead.
I was making me... You're just triggering different thoughts.
And
one
ahead.
Is that the offline life...
Yes.
And it goes... It's very congruent with performing arts, too, which... is something that I tell people a lot with Mostly Kosher, but we're not recording artists that are putting out content constantly like many of the internet artists that we see today, that they have new content you know, almost every week, whereas we've only done 2 albums to date.
Oh, really? Oh.
But it's really because we cherish the performing artist part of who we are.
Sure,
and,
makes sense.
And live music. And that's one thing I'm very excited that AI won't be replacing anytime soon is the need to connect in live music
right.
is going to be so hard to replace by any technology. The fact of just leaving your house, turning off your phones, and coming to a gathering where you're going to dance together is going to be needed for hundreds of years. It won't go away.
You know?
So that's something I like to add to what we cherish about our work.
I love that. Well, that's connection in real life, which is needed more than ever. And I do want to bring up that you had your debut album earn international acclaim. And Weight in the Water. It landed on the Billboard's 10 songs to make your Seder rock list in 2025. That's amazing.
I know. That was really cool. We got one of the Billboard journalists actually didn't submit anything. They just found it. They were prospecting
wow.
songs that would go well for Passover.
Okay.
And we're right up there along with a song from Jack Black. And
very cool.
Incredible celebrities. That was very, very cool.
I love it. This show is called Get the Funk Out. We all go through things. We go through losses. We go through relationships that end. So that's a different type of loss. But how do you stay positive and work on your own mental health when life is challenging?
I have personally different outlets that are important to me. I like to get busy with my hands and craft.
Nice.
I'm a DIYer type of person, and that's something that is just a place where I can just disappear into.
Nice.
And then I have so many personal outlets. Like, I just also got a puppy for the first time
Aww.
Last year. And that has been, wow, has
yes.
that been helping me survive the world.
It's great.
It's so beautiful to be able to escape, but it's also a privilege being able to have a dog, and I recognize that, and it costs money, so not everybody can just go and adopt a pet. But
right.
But I think that also, for me, I do have to do a lot of intentional work. Speaking, going back to connecting, I think the older we get, it's like we have to do way more intentional work to staying connected with the people that we care about.
Mm-hmm.
Carving time, making time is so more real because we're realizing the way that time just escapes as we get older, and
yes,
and you're like, oh wait, I'm only, you know, I'm 35 now, which, you know, for, I'm sure for many people they think, well, you still got lots of time ahead, but I have to think like, wait, I have to, I'm only 15 years away from my halfway point, and I'm 20 years away from being, you know, AARP. Like, what can I do in 20 years? What have I accomplished in 20 years? And it's kind of like, there's not that much time left. There's only
wait
20
a
more
minute.
Birthdays. 20, yeah.
You sound like Debbie
and
Downer.
I'm not trying to be like, you know, sad about it, but instead, okay, how do I be more present to it? And no
yes,
longer,
sure.
you know, put off and push away and delay yeah. and delay.
Yes.
Let's just do it now. And that's yeah. just been a lot more of my inspiration, is trying to have this balance of like, you know, let's, I'm texting my friends. I'm trying to keep the energy of like, let's just get a dinner. Let's just get time. No, let's
yes.
do a phone call.
You need to.
And stay connected.
Yeah. The worst is a text. That people think that's the way to keep up with people is just texting. I mean, a phone call, hearing the sound of someone's voice is so important. Maybe even FaceTime if you live really far away, you're super busy. But you're right. Gather.
Oh, and
gather.
Yeah. My yeah. generation's worse because they think it's, my generation's like, staying connected means you liked some of their posts over the last few years.
Terrible. Yeah.
Like, I have people that they say, oh, we're friends. And I'm like, oh, do you guys talk? Like, no, we're Instagram mutual friends. Meaning that, like,
no,
we've maybe commented on something you posted and they've commented back. And I'm like, are you really
yes.
connected? Do you really feel like that person cares about you?
No.
And or like no. in the way that in the moments that matter.
Yeah.
And it's just like there's sometimes so much time we invest in just this Instagram community that or Facebook or TikTok community that's so wide and vast that you lose focus on maybe more heartfelt,
yes.
meaningful and fewer connections perhaps. So that's like part of my world that I deal with. And I, you know, I appreciate when I get to use Instagram to like share some interesting news from my larger community that's fun, but I definitely find that like I still have to nurture my close relationships, my
sure
best friends and whatnot.
So I didn't ask this question, but did you always know you wanted to become a musician?
Well, my mom was a cantor, and if you don't know that, if the listeners don't know what a cantor is, it's a musical minister in the Jewish community. So quite had a lot of music growing up there. My mother forced me to play piano, and I hated it.
Forced.
And I threw temper tantrums until I can quit
oh.
at like 7 years old. But then, funny enough, I learned just enough to like still play every day. For some, you know, when kids learn that one song they really like, they'll play it at nauseam.
Yes.
I'd play for like on top of Old Smokey for like 3 hours.
Oh, no.
To like try to not get out of doing homework. And that developed into me being a self-taught pianist by the time I was in high school and I wanted to join the jazz band.
Amazing.
And so I think that there are certain things I definitely felt at home about in music as an artist, and it maybe happened because of really great teachers, the spaces that I was in, the schools I had, you know, there's a lot of safety and comfort and nurturing happening in the band rooms that I was in and the choir rooms. It felt a little bit where you could be on the outside of everyone else and not connect about the same trending things that every other kid or student is dealing with, but instead you can connect about music, and it became quite a universal language to kind of like even out everybody.
Definitely.
And then also as I did it more and more, at some point I recognized that I had a proficiency in it even above other students. In that point, like come middle school into high school, I'm like already accompanying choirs, and I even in high school was getting some paid gigs. So I recognized quickly like this could be a career path for me.
In
high school, I was already thinking, oh, I'll do the college route and conservatory route and orchestras and whatnot, or be a pianist. I didn't yet know I was also playing clarinet. And then later in high school, I found out I had a voice, and I started singing, and by the time I was auditioning for university, I was either going to do jazz piano, orchestra clarinet, or opera. I was all over the place. And Cal State Long Beach ended up being the school I went to because they kind of allowed me to nurture all three, which was really great.
That is great.
And now I don't do any of them.
Oh, you don't?
Well, I definitely use them to influence. My opera training has allowed me to now sing the folk rock that I do now with proper technique. And
yes.
I choir direct a lot now. I still perform as a singer from here and there, depending mm-hmm. on the opportunity.
Okay.
But I'm definitely like what you would call a multi-instrumentalist or a utility musician, whereas like I fit into what's needed, and that's part of what you get when you hire me and what my skill is. I'm not great at any one thing. There's definitely a thousand people greater than me at piano or at singing or at this or at that. But what you get when you bring me in is I have this wide variety of skills that have given me an interesting perspective.
Definitely.
Typically that helped me as like more like as a music director or as a creative that's creating something. And I still have high standards because I've had participatory training. So it's like, that's kind of where my life has led.
It's great.
How can I use all these different skills? And I play piano a lot. I still accompany my own choirs that I direct. I still sing in. I play a little percussion. I barely play clarinet, but I still enjoyed all the training I had from that because then I can conduct orchestras and know
sure.
the perspective of an instrumentalist from that point of view, and because mm-hmm. I had clarinet training. And so it's given me like a wide variety of ways to just stay active as a working musician.
That's great. I know you have to jump off soon, but we did not talk about Urban Voices Project.
Yes.
When did you start that?
So, a lot of this explanation of who I am is like this, I never mastered one instrument. As I was really exploring other people in my world, they're like going to conservatory and audition. Mastering your art is probably one of the more elite parts of art, right? The elitism in art,
sure.
the seeking excellence and pursuit of excellence. And it kind of was feeling like something that deterred me. I felt like there wasn't magic to that, and it didn't incentivize me. But what incentivized me was using cool connections and community and like connections of people to people. I didn't know where to do with that, but then I was teaching at the Colburn School at 23 years old, and a board member said, and if you don't know where Colburn is, it's in downtown LA. Mm-hmm. They said, hey, 6 blocks away is Skid Row, the epidemic epicenter of homelessness in Los Angeles and America. It's a concentration of over, 3,000 people that are going through homelessness in 1 square mile or less.
Wow.
And they said, we got to do something. And is any faculty interested in trying to do something about it? And I said, I was the only one that raised my hand. I was like, I am. This sounds like mm-hmm. way more interesting to me than teaching conservatory things. So I figured out that singing was the most accessible way we can try to start a music class or a music group. And then it started as a community choir in Skid Row. At 2014 we started. And it
Amazing.
Was very much just me saying yes as a young 20-something, trying to figure things out as I went. But I had a lot of experience working with older adults, which was the majority of the demographic I was working with in Skid Row. A lot of seniors that got left behind by our system. And I had taught community choirs in the Jewish community, so I knew how to work with older adults, even as a 20-something. And I was finding that not only were the older adults left behind in this experiencing of homelessness, but even in all the social service work out there, there's a lot of arts programs for youth that are impoverished and at risk, but there's no art programs for adults.
Yes.
And it was so interesting. It was a huge vacuum. And we realized that people wanted songwriting classes. They wanted more music classes. They wanted music education programs. They wanted music meditation programs. And I started adding on and adding on just as this volunteer grassroots effort. Everything was volunteer the first 4 years. But Urban Voices was just this grassroots organization of me teaching my co-founder, Christopher Mack, who is an outreach worker, bringing the people. And then eventually I had another music teacher friend join me. Her name is Kate Richards-Geller. And she and I were just volunteering our time, teaching like up to 10 classes a week.
Whoa.
And it was, yeah, we were pulling from our other day jobs to pay for to make this happen. And then the three of us realized this is growing too fast. We needed to become a nonprofit because we'd love it to sustain.
Sure.
And in 2018, we got our nonprofit status. We started hiring more teachers, and it actually grew even beyond Skid Row. We had about six or seven weekly programs happening in downtown LA that are focused on people that are amplifying the voice of people experiencing homelessness. So it's happening in shelters, in community clinics, or you wouldn't guess it, but libraries are huge sanctuary sites for people experiencing homelessness and where they can feel very normal.
Yes.
And then we started growing, even made it through COVID and came back out continuing to grow. And here we are now. We're not quite, we're about, what, a staff of nine, faculty of seven or eight, depending on the season. And we are serving at least over maybe 400 plus engagements a week.
A week.
And people experiencing homelessness, yes. And then we have special events that we do that are put on by Skid Row, the Skid Row Choir, that help to plan the events and then are staffed to actually even run the events with us. And the Skid Row Choir continues as like an outreach arm. The choir continues to do performances that are in advocacy of people experiencing homelessness.
That's great.
Or arts and health, another big podium that we stand on. And then we, while the choir goes out and performs, and we, those artists are being able to make income from bookings, it also helps us bring in extra fundraising to keep these weekly programs going for people in the shelters.
That's
and
fantastic.
So it's this beautiful model of just continuing to use music in every way to connect individuals in the workshops, the heart of the work, as well as the choir that continues to deliver the message.
Look
on
at
the
lives you are impacting. That's tremendous.
Thank you.
Absolutely tremendous. Now, I know we do have to wrap up. Where can people find out more about you?
Right now, I don't have a personal website at the moment, but the two organizations are very Googleable, whether it be Mostly Kosher.
Okay.
Is got a mostlykosher.com or, mm-hmm. Or social media, of course. And then urbanvoicesproject.org, or again, you can very, very Googleable if you just type in Urban Voices Project in those socials.
Yes.
I do have a artist page, Instagram, Liav Sofer. And may I leave you guys with one?
Please.
One, like, sentiment that
I've
been inspiring me for 2026, and I've been really sharing it. A lot of people ask sometimes in where so many things feel so urgent and the world is shaking and breaking, why music and why singing? Mm. And I had to explain this a lot, mostly in the concept of homelessness. People say, why not provide housing and jobs? Like, why singing? And I think that we're so divided in this world in multiple ways, not just politically, but also as we are divided between the people that have and the people that have not, mm-hmm. as well. And privileges continues to divide us. And there's so many things that continue to wedge us farther and farther apart from each other. And many people who are on the weaker side of these divisions, or the less privileged side of these divisions, feel more and more like nothing, kind of like a number.
Yeah.
They feel really, really like they can feel invisible.
Like they don't matter.
Many of us have all felt that.
Yeah.
And my point is that while we can offer support, money, housing, employment, all these things don't necessarily first affect that thing that makes you feel alone and makes you feel small and makes you feel like, oh, I'm someone that needs this from the system, and I'm suckling, you know, at needing charity, and that makes me actually feel worse. I feel even smaller that I'm someone that even has to need that. I don't have any dignity attached to that.
Right.
But what can break all of those barriers is art and music.
Definitely.
And it can be that one thing that sees you not as a broken individual that needs something or is alone or any of that, but it's something that can see you as a whole person from the moment it meets you and reminds you that you are whole all this time.
That's beautiful.
And I just want to leaves with that sentiment that inspires everything I'm doing in 2026 and up until this point.
Thank you. That is absolutely beautiful and really hits home with me. You know, I think about when you hear about, you know, cutting funding for the arts, and you never know what the power of one song can do to the trajectory of someone's life.
Yes. And now I'm really ashamed to say this, Janine, but
what?
Because you just said it yourself. If any of your listeners are in place to give and they want to find a nonprofit to give to,
okay,
they're welcome to go and make a donation on Harbin Voices
right.
Project.
That's okay. Well, I want to thank you so much. I have loved this conversation. And for my listeners, if you missed any part of this, you jumped on late, it'll be up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Liev, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you at some point in person.
Janine, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Be well. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. That was Liev Sofer. If you missed any part of this, like I said, it'll be up on the show blog within an hour after I wrap. He will be performing with his Purim Glam Rock Band. They are taking over the Barclay this Sunday, 3 o'clock. Klezmer meets Glam Rock. Celebrate Purim with Mostly Kosher. And all the information is up on the show blog. There's even a YouTube video on there as well. You can look at that. If you are not familiar with KUCI, you can head over to our website, kuci.org. We have our complete list of public affairs and music shows on there. You can head over to our socials at KUCI FM. We'll take a little break and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.